You are watching Christ's Commission Fellowship, changing lives for eternity.
I grew up as a sickly and timid child. At the age of 15, I eventually was diagnosed with type 1 or juvenile diabetes, an autoimmune disease that requires insulin shots to function normally. At a young age, I was oriented about the illness and was told about the possible complications that could arise. Because of this, I did my best to live a healthy lifestyle. I took care of myself, watched what I ate, and had no vices. I thought that doing all these and taking control of my body would help me live a normal, healthy life. Externally, I tried to stay strong. But internally, I was struggling with fear because I knew that anytime soon, my condition could only become worse. I got to know the Lord 22 years ago when my dad brought the entire family to CCF because of a friend of his who invited him to attend. At that time, our family was facing bankruptcy and we were left with nothing and no one else to turn to but the Lord. Ever since I heard and received the gospel, I actively attended Bible studies, retreats, church services, and had a D group, because not only did these help me know Jesus Christ more, I was also able to grow alongside other Christians. Everything was going well until 2014. I noticed a lump on my head, which no doctor could diagnose, and was just prescribed with a lot of medicines. Soon after, I had episodes of vertigo and severe nausea, and was given even more medicines to take. Eventually, I noticed that my eyes started getting puffy and my legs started swelling up. I also started vomiting everything and anything I ate or drank, which resulted to drastically losing weight. In just 3 months, my kidney function went down from 91% to 12%. I was devastated and saddened about this and didn't understand why and how this was all happening. Just when I thought my condition couldn't get worse, while having dinner one evening with my family, I suddenly went blind. Yes, I lost my vision in both eyes. I was so terrified because everything just went completely black. I remember crying alone in my room that evening. No words could comfort me. I cried out to God. In that deep state of brokenness, I said to Him, "Lord, if this is your will in my life, if you want to take away my health, including my sight, so be it. I don't feel I'll be worth anything anymore, but I will trust you and accept your perfect will for me." I woke up the next day with unexplainable peace. His presence was so strong, as if all the fear had been removed from my heart. I was surprisingly full of joy despite being totally blind. Days after, I was rushed for an emergency dialysis because my body's toxicity levels were increasing from kidney failure. At the same time, the doctors also had to address my blindness. The doctors did not want to operate on my eyes for fear that it might just make my condition worse. But at that point, I told my family that I had nothing else to lose. I had already been blind for 4 months. Because of my persistence, the doctors finally agreed to perform the surgery. When the doctors removed the eye patches after the surgery, I opened my eyes and I still could not see. A part of me was saddened, but I was still hopeful. I did not stop believing that God would heal me one way or another. True enough, days passed and there was great improvement in my eyes. The doctors themselves were so surprised at the improvement because they didn't think my vision would ever be restored. My attending physician even told me that after seeing how God has healed me, She couldn't deny that there is truly a God who can heal. Praise God. I was so happy and grateful to be able to see again. Nevertheless, I still had my kidneys to deal with. I continued to undergo dialysis and tried to live a normal life. I had dialysis 3 times a week, 5 hours every session. I had my 8-hour job during the day, then proceeded to the dialysis center after. This went on for 2 years. Everything was manageable until my body started to deteriorate from dialysis. I became really weak that every activity became too tiring for me. One day, in my usual dialysis session, the attending doctor informed my dad in panic that I had gone on a flat line. He said that the nurse found me with my face blue and my blood pressure was down to 60 over 30. All my dad could do was pray to the Lord at that, as they put a tube down my throat. Suddenly, I was in a coma and on life support in the ICU. From losing my sight to potentially losing my life, both Christian and non-Christian friends joined my family in prayer. I gained my consciousness back after 8 days, and in 12 days, I was able to go back home. My family was told that because my body was too fragile and no longer responded well to dialysis, a kidney transplant was needed as soon as possible. Our finances had been fully depleted at that point, and we could no longer afford it. But we knew that if we could trust God with life, with my life, we can also trust Him for provision. After praying, God sent so many people who helped out with our financial needs. A lot of friends reached out, even people we didn't know. The Lord truly provided for our each and every need. Other than the finances, God also provided a kidney donor who was an exact match. In May 2017, by God's amazing grace, I underwent a successful kidney transplant. Praise God. All of these happened 2 years ago. I stand here before you as proof of our God's goodness and grace. I live because of the miracles He allowed to happen in my life. Who would have thought that I would be here, alive, well, and able to share of God's story in my life to all of you? Job 1:21 says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." No matter how much we plan or try to be in control of our lives, it is only God who is in control of everything. There is nothing we can or cannot do when His power is at work. I am here to remind you that there is hope in the Lord. What is impossible for man is possible for God. Whatever it is you are dealing with, problems, illness, heartaches, helplessness, we must remember that we have a big God who is always in control. We just need to have faith in Him. Never doubt the power of the Lord in whatever circumstance. I am Andrea de Luz Arriaga, once blind, sick, and almost dead, but now alive and well to testify about the one who deserves all the glory and praise.
Do you know the reality of pain and suffering is something that we cannot avoid? And many times people ask honest questions. For example, if God is love and God is almighty, why does He allow suffering? Have you ever thought of that? If God is love, He's all-powerful, why does He allow suffering? Hopefully this morning, I'm going to share God's truth to you so you will learn how to navigate through pain and suffering. Because the truth is this: good people, bad people, we all encounter suffering and pain. How many of you have gone through suffering and pain? Raise your hands. Why are you all raising your hands? Because it is part and parcel of our human experience. Just recently, my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, passed away because of cancer. Recently, my sister, who lives in Canada, was diagnosed with cancer. Many of our friends, many of our pastor's wives, Gina, pastor, wife of Pastor Albert in Makati, cancer. G. Elevaso, wife of Erwin, cancer. Our own staff, senior staff, Peggy, cancer of the lung and the brain. Now, I don't know about you, but many times when our friends have cancer, you also feel the pain. It's hard for us. So how do you navigate through pain and suffering? You cannot deny it. It's happening. So would you like to learn how? Well, I praise God because of the Bible. We are going through a series on Bible character. Today's character will show us how do you deal with pain and suffering. Are you interested? Guess who is the character? What's his name? Job. So this is our title today. Everybody, learn from Job. Endure. One more time. Learn from Job. Endure. What do you mean by the word endure? Let me share with you how this word is used in the Bible. There was once upon a time, I was scared to read the book of Job. I was afraid to study the book of Job. Are you afraid? Well, I have good news for you. The Lord spoke to my heart when I encountered James chapter 5. Let's read this together. As an example, brethren, writing to Christians as an example of suffering and patience. Do you notice? Suffering and patience. They are connected. How do you deal with suffering? It has to do with being patient. What does it mean? Let's find out. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Now, when you read the word prophets, you will probably begin to understand. It refers to the Old Testament because they are written by Moses and the prophets. Now, look at the next verse. Everybody read the next verse. We count those, everybody, blessed who endured. The word endured appears. You have heard of the endurance. Endure. Everybody read. Hupomeno. I'm going to explain this Greek word. Hupomeno, endured, of Job. And have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and merciful. The focus of the word endured has to deal with Job clinging on to the Lord, and then the Bible says, look at the outcome. So, hupomeno, the word endured, is not passive. When the Bible uses the word endured, it is not like this Tagalog expression, bahala na, I have no choice. No, no. In the Bible, endure is active. You anticipate. It's full of hope. But it is anchored on the Lord. So learn a new word today. Say hupo, everybody, hupomeno. Now, hupomeno is a combination of two Greek words. Hupo, under. Meno is what? To stay under. Not passively, steadfast, anticipate. Understand? Wait with anticipation. So, how do you deal with pain and suffering? Everybody, learn from Job. What must you do? Endure. Together. Learn from Job. What must you do? Endure. Hupomeno. Endure. Hupomeno. By trusting. Impress your family members today when you go home. Tell your loved ones, I learned one new Greek word. And what is that? hupomeno. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, hupomeno. It's active anticipation. It is not passive. It is not being lazy because you have nothing else to do. You just wait. That is not biblical. So, how do you endure? How do you wait with anticipation, with strength? We will look at the life of Job. The life of Job, if you read the book of Job, can be divided into three main parts. What do I mean? Job chapter 1 and 2 has to do with his dilemma. Job has no idea why he's suffering. It's a dilemma, it's a problem. The reality of the physical and spiritual world. Chapter 3 up to chapter 37 is a debate. Why do we suffer? They are arguing. What's the reason why we suffer? Human reasons. And you'll be amazed. The reasoning is partly correct. But that's the danger. By being 80% correct, 70% correct, eventually it leads to heresy, wrong teaching. But they were debating. And then chapter 38 to 42 is the highlight of God's response, the divine response. How do you solve the problem of the mystery of suffering? God explains to Job. Are you ready? All right, let's begin. Job chapter 1, together. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. So the first thing I want you to learn about Job is he's a real person. The book of James talk about him. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, talk about Job. So Job is a real person. It is not mythical. It is not a man-made idea. It's a real person. And what kind of person was Job? The Bible is very clear. He was a good man. Why do I say good? Well, the Bible says, blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. When the Bible talks about somebody is blameless, the Bible is not talking about perfection. But the Bible is saying the direction of this man's life is to please God. All of us can be blameless. All of us can be upright, provided you are very sincere in your desire to please God. When you discover something is wrong, you must be willing to repent and change. That's the idea of a blameless, upright man. Turning away from evil, the direction of his life is very clear, to please God. Next, we learn something about Job. He was very rich. Together, 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. His wife is very productive. 10 children. His possessions were, everybody read, 7,000 sheep. You see, in the days of Job, you don't measure money in terms of wealth, in terms of money, gold bars. No, it is in terms of animals, goods. 3,000 camels, the most important animals in the desert. 500 yoke of oxen for plowing, for working. 500 female donkeys. And very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the east. East of Israel. Somewhere there, near Edom. Now, what can you learn about Job? Righteous, good man, and rich. Number 3, you learn about something about Job. Let's read. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one. So the family, they party, they go around, and you will notice something. They invited their sister to eat and drink with them. Everybody read, when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, everybody, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, everybody read, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. So what can you learn about Job? Job was a good father. He cared for the spiritual well-being of his children. How many of you are fathers? Wave at me. Fathers, say hi to me. Fathers, most of us are preoccupied with financial provisions. You want to take care of your children. But how many of us are like Job? You are concerned about the spiritual well-being of your children. That's Job. He cared about their spiritual affairs, and he would pray for them. Notice, this is something done continuously. I pray that you'll be so concerned about your children that you will be intentional. Say that with me. Intentional. Be an intentional father. Be an intentional mother. That was Job. He was a good man. He was rich. And he was a good father. Now, the Bible tells us there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. Now, suddenly, you have the spirit world, which Job had no idea at all. Job could not see what's happening. The Bible says the spirit world that is invisible to the eyes is even more real than the physical world. Now, there was a meeting going on. So can you imagine? The Bible tells us the sons of God in the Old Testament are angels. They are called sons of God because they are created beings. And then you have Satan. Satan means adversary, the enemy of God. Don't ever be fooled by people that say Satan cannot enter the presence of God today. Satan is able to enter God's presence. Understand? All of them have to give an account to God. And that is what was happening. So Satan and the angels appeared before God. And then the Lord said, everybody read. The Lord said to Satan, "Where do you come?" Satan answered, "From roaming about on the earth, walking around it." This is so biblical. The Bible says Satan reported to God, "I'm going around the earth." Do you know what he's doing? Let me tell you what Satan is doing today. Let's read together. "Be of sober spirit." Hey guys, be serious. "Be on the alert." In Tagalog, wag ka banjing-banjing dyan. Be on the alert. Why? Everybody read. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith." In other words, listen to me. You learn from the book of Job the reality of the spirit world and the reality of Satan. He's real. And he's out there to devour Christians. He's out there to get you. So, let's go back. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on the earth, a blameless, upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." God was so impressed and happy with Job. God was telling Satan, "Hey, you see this guy, Job? He's my servant. He's a good man." Now, this is something that Job had no idea what was going on. The Bible tells us, Satan answered the Lord. Together, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed him with the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Now, you have to understand Satan's theory, Satan's philosophy. Satan said, "Job loved you, worshiped you because of one thing. Because of what you can do for him. He does not really love you. He does not really care for you." In other words, Satan is describing a picture of many Christians today. You come to CCF, you attend Bible study in your mind based on what you can get from God. It's called shallow Christianity. It's called commercialism. It's a consumer mindset with God. It's called quid pro quo. I worship you, I follow you, in return, you do this to me. This is what you call shallow Christianity, and Satan, in this regard, is pretty accurate. There are many people who are self-centered. They don't know God. They don't really worship Him. They really worship themselves. God is somebody to be used. God is a Santa Claus. I follow God because of what I can get from God. That's his theory. But you notice something? Satan tells God, have you not made a hedge about him? The word hedge has the idea of a thick wall. Satan told God, I cannot touch Job. I cannot touch his family. I cannot touch his business because you have been protecting him. The power of God, at the same time, Satan is limited. And you know what God said? All right? Satan was challenging God. People will curse you. And God said, the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put your hand upon him. Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. What can you learn? Nothing can happen to us, our family members, without the permission of God. That's my comfort. The warning, Satan is alive. Satan wants to get us. In fact, the Bible warns you. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. The word opportunity is what? Do not give the devil a place in your life. What is the context? Anger, temper. Now, a lot of men, a lot of women are full of anger, bitterness. They don't realize by being angry, by not learning to forgive, you have allowed yourself you have become Satan's foothold. He is now allowed to wreck your life. So my friend, please, Christianity is not being lazy, doing nothing. God is powerful, but God warns you. Guard your life. Are we clear? Well, what did Satan do? My goodness. In one day, Satan got so busy in one day. Oxen and donkeys were attacked, stolen by the Sabians. In other words, Satan can arouse people, bad people, to attack God's people. Exactly what happened. Sheep and servants killed by fire, lightning. My goodness, Satan has certain control over nature. Wow. Next. Camels taken by the Chaldeans, servants killed. In one day, notice, if you read the Bible, all of this happened. After this happened, the oxen died. A guy came, boss, your sheep died. Boss, your camels died. And then this is the most painful. Before the report is finished, the Bible tells us somebody came and reported to him, boss, a hurricane came from the desert. And it hit your house, the house of your children. And all of them died. Sons, daughters, died. Let me ask you a question. Be honest with me. How would you feel? Put yourself in the shoes of Job. In one day, you don't even have time to process. You lost your fortune. You lost your family. How would you feel? Would you say it's pretty tough? Would you say you are probably concerned you may not survive? Yes or no? You know how Job responded? Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and he fell to the ground. It's a picture of mourning. When people mourn, when they are sad, that's what they do in the Middle East. They shave their head, they tore their robe. But the most amazing thing happened. The Bible tells us he fell to the ground and worshiped. How many of us, if you encounter trials, for many people, they turn away from God. They stop going to Bible study. They stop worshiping. You know what they say? No more. Forget it. But for people like Job, it's different. I'm so amazed at Job. Job worshiped. Is that possible? You know, I saw this with my own eyes. One of the greatest evidence of Christianity is how God's people respond to pain and suffering. Here is the real truth. Bad people will have problems. Good people will have problems. Yes or no? The only problem is this. When bad people have problems, we think they deserve it. But when good people have problems, you are shocked. Oh, how can this happen? And that's where a lot of people begin to lose their faith. Because they don't see fairness. They don't see justice. They question, how can this be fair? Without realizing the very question of fairness, of justice, proves that God exists. If God does not exist, why do you bother about fairness and justice? If we are the product of evolution and there's no God, why talk about fairness? How Christians respond to problems prove to me the reality of God. Let me give an example. In CCF, you try to talk with these women who have stage 4 cancer. Peggy. Perfect peace. Joy. Gina. Cancer. You talk to her. She will comfort you. Talk to G. You talk to her right now. She was here this morning. I saw her mask. I saw everything. At peace. When I visited my sister-in-law before she died, I went there to comfort her. I went there to comfort my brother. I left the hospital emergency room comforted because the way they process pain and suffering. You know what my sister-in-law told my brother? A few days before she died, she said, when I die, I want you to shout in the streets, hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, because I am now with the Lord. Amazing. You know why? Our perspective is different. In the case of Job, he worshiped. Look at his theology. Look at his understanding of God. Everybody read. He said, everybody please, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he's saying? Everything I have is from God. I was born naked. By the way, how many of you are born with a piece of suit? Born naked, and you will die bringing nothing. For Job, my family, my blessings, everything is from God. The fact that God gave me these many years with my own children, with my possession, praise God. Perspective, my friend. Job's perspective is different. That's why the message today is so crucial. Sooner or later, you will have pain and suffering. No exception. The only difference is this. How do you process it? How do you help people? When people come to you, pastor, or they call you by phone, I'm really having a problem. My husband left me. My children died. What do? You know, the Bible tells us, in the book of Job, you will learn how to endure. What's the message today? Learn from Job. Endure. What is endure? Hupomeno. Tell your neighbor, hupomeno. How do you do that? You know, through all of this, the Bible tells us Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. This is amazing. Job did not make tampo. He kept on following the Lord. Now, Round number one, chapter one. Satan said Job will curse you. Did Job curse God? No. Who won the battle? Round one. God. Job. Round two. Same idea. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came. Same incident. No, another incident, but same idea. And you know, this time the Lord said, Satan, look at Job. You caused him harm, but he is still following me. He is still trusting me. Ha! Satan now replied. Satan said, Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face. Do you understand Satan's theory? God, allow me to touch his body, and I guarantee you, he will curse you. You see, Satan's theory is very simple. Nobody will really worship God unless they get something. Ladies, I want you to imagine a boy courting you. Father, mother, I want you to imagine now somebody is courting your daughter. Because your daughter is rich, so somebody is courting her. And then she comes. And then, as he was courting your daughter, he discovered that when they get married, you won't give them money. And number two, that girl will not have sex with this guy. In other words, he won't get anything materially or sex, but only pure love. And then the boyfriend says, no more. Suddenly the boyfriend disappears. Now, Father, how will you feel? Ladies, how would you feel if a guy discovers he cannot get anything from you, he disappears? I remember somebody telling my wife years ago, can I have your name and address and phone? My wife said, sure. And then the girl, out of the blue, opened her mouth. You know, I need to know your phone number so that when I'm in trouble someday, I will call you. My wife was thinking, I thought you want my number because you want to keep in touch, because you want to be a friend. I want your number so that when I need you, I will call you. How do you feel? You see, these guys are not real friends. They're looking for network. It's called network marketing, huh? You want to have connection. You know, many politicians have this experience. When they're in power, many friends. The moment they are no longer in power, the people disappear. Satan is saying, we are exactly like those fair-weathered friends. We come to God because he can do something for us. But the moment we have a problem and God does not do as we please, as we want him to do, what do? We disappear. God says, all right. The Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. What can you learn? While Satan is powerful, his power is limited. Why? Without God's permission, nothing can happen. Are we clear? Satan cannot touch you apart from God's permission. However, God gives you a warning. Don't go into Satan's territory. If you have sinned, if you harbor bitterness, you open yourselves to demonic attacks. You know what Satan did? He went to work immediately. Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Boils, pigsa, you know, with nana, okay, with a pass. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the asses. Ladies and gentlemen, what will you do if you were Job? Will you be miserable? My goodness. It's, to me, it's unimaginable. You know what the Bible tells us? Satan, while he could not make Job curse God, he was successful talking to Job's wife. You know what Mrs. Job did? This is what Mrs. Job did. His wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." Do you know in Tagalog? Magpakamatay ka na! Why are you still believing God? And I realized this is Satan's ploy. He will use your family members, he will use people to become his mouthpiece. Are you aware that Satan has power, but his power is limited? But he attacks the way you think about God. Look at the next verse. "I am amazed at Job." You know, Job told his wife, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all of this, everybody read, Job did not sin with his lips. This is amazing. So my question to you is this. What kept Job going? You know what Job said? "Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways." You see, for Job, his greatest problem is not denying God. His greatest problem is, "I do not know why. Why am I suffering?" The Bible tells us, look at the faith of Job. You know what kept him going? He was able to endure. "Though he slay me, I will" what? "Hope. I will persevere. I will keep on waiting upon him. But," he said, "I will argue my ways." I'm bothered. I want to talk to God. I'm bothered. The faith of Job is amazing. Job is able to endure because he sees the big picture. Look at what Job said. "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives." Notice, as early as the book of Job, he already knows a Savior. "My Redeemer lives. At the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God." Job believed in physical resurrection. He said, "Someday I will see God face to face. Even if my skin is destroyed, one day I will see him in my flesh." The faith of Job is what enabled him to endure. He don't understand. I realize you can trust God without even knowing why you're in pain. You are able to trust God because your faith is not in circumstances. It is in who God is. And the truth is, we have pain. This became very true in my life and my wife's life. When my daughter was raped by 7 men, that was the hardest experience my wife and us and I went through. I cried more than I ever did all my life. I did not just cry for one day. I did not just cry for 1 week. I would cry for months. In fact, even thinking about it today, I have tears. Because I could not understand how a loving God would allow such horrible things to happen to my daughter. She was only 15 years old, never kissed a man. She was pure, she was a virgin. And I was teaching Bible. I was not in sin. So the temptation is very real. This is the temptation. Why do you keep on serving God? Why do you keep on trusting God? You see, our problem for many believers in the midst of pain and suffering is no longer questioning the existence of God. We question the very character of God. What kind of God do I have? And that was my temptation. But I praise God by His grace. The same voice that spoke to me about God, forget Him, happened to my wife. We were shocked. We compared notes. Exactly the same idea. Forget God. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is more powerful. The Holy Spirit spoke to us. Keep trusting. Because of this amazing promise. Guess what promise? We know God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans chapter 8, verse 28-29. So we clung on. The only reason we could endure is we claim the promise of God. Would you believe it? It happened on a Friday midnight. By Sunday, my wife and I were in CCF. We were singing, we were worshiping God, and I gave the message. Why? The grace of God. And it is possible, in the midst of pain, you can bow down and worship. Our family, we worship the Lord. Not because we are good or we are able, but because God is faithful. You know the promise of God. No temptation has overtaken you. No trials has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tried, to be tested beyond what you are able to endure. Same word, endure. Why? So that you'll be able to escape. So that you'll be able to endure it. God will not allow you to be tempted, to be tested beyond what you are able. Why? So that you'll be able to endure. And ladies and gentlemen, what's the message today in the midst of pain and suffering? Learn from Job. What must you do? Endure. You can only endure when you learn to trust Him. And you know, Job's three friends, I call them the three stooges, okay? Job's three friends heard of this adversity, came upon him. What are their names? Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. I'm so glad none of you are called Eliphaz or Bildad or Zophar. Now, don't get me wrong. These are good friends. They love Job. In fact, they went to see Job and they sat down with him for 7 days without saying anything. And that, my friend, is true comfort. I realize when you comfort people, you don't have to say anything. Just put your arms around them or just be near them. Let them know you care. That is amazing comfort. In fact, the problem began when they begin to open their mouth. You know, sometimes better don't open your mouth. You stop telling people why they are suffering. You know, sometimes we think we are smarter than God. And we start telling people, we start quoting verses. You know why you are suffering? Do you know their conclusion when they opened their mouth to comfort Job? It became the mouthpiece of Satan. Job was more bothered by the counsel of these stooges. I call them sincere stooges. You know, these three guys, from chapter 3 to chapter 37, you have these three good friends. Now, let me tell you, they are good friends. They are sincere. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. What is their main advice to Job? Job, sin causes suffering. The reason why you're suffering is sin. Bildad, you must be sinning. The wicked always suffers. So far, you are sinning. The wicked are short-lived. Now, the fourth friend, this is the youngest. God did not scold Elihu because he said something that's more correct. God purifies and teaches us through pain. However, these three guys have one conclusion. Sin causes suffering. Now listen to me, everybody. The same idea was asked by the disciples to Jesus. Let's read together. His disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? That he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him." What can you learn? Not all suffering is caused by sin. Are we clear? Sin causes pain many times, but not all pain is caused by sin. So be careful. Don't be too simplistic in your answer to people's pain and suffering. To endure, you must be willing to live with mystery. I don't understand. So there are many reasons why we suffer. One reason, according to Jesus, so that the works of God might be displayed. Now, there are many other reasons. Let me give you an example. We won't have time in details, but let me give you an example. Why is there pain and suffering? Well, the Bible is very clear. In Genesis chapter 3, 17, 19, the primary reason is because of sin. What is sin? When you disobey God. And the Bible tells us when sin entered the world, boom, suddenly we have pain and suffering. Curse is the ground because of you. In toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, it shall grow for you. You see, when God created the world, it was perfect. No pain, no suffering, no death. But when man chose to disobey God, when we choose to sin, boom, God makes no apology. Sin will now cause hardship, pain, suffering, death. Are we clear? Sin is something that you and I don't really appreciate or see. When I say appreciate, we don't see the horror of sin. And that is why God is now allowing us, through natural calamities, through sickness, through cancer, through decay, for you to have a glimpse of what sin does to the soul. It is bad news. So there are many reasons why we suffer. Are we clear? Sin, for testing and God's glory, to test our faith. God's discipline. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. I've seen Christians who disobey the Lord, and suddenly they change. You know why they change? Suddenly they have problems. They have cancer. I've seen the hardest heart transform, mellowed. Protection from sin. You know, God allows problem to protect us from sinning. In this case, God says to keep you from becoming proud. Example, why do we have pain and suffering? Christ-like character, to mold your character. Why do we have pain and suffering? For our reward, God promised. Something bad becomes something good. For intimacy with God, one of the greatest blessings is intimacy with God through pain and suffering. But many times people don't realize for our salvation. God uses pain and suffering to bring people to his kingdom. What was the problem of Job? If you read chapter 3 down, Job's greatest struggle is why? Why, Lord, why? He kept asking why. His greatest temptation, what kind of God do I serve? He never doubted the existence of God. But he began to question. What kind of God? I'm not in sin. I did not commit sin. And the Bible tells us, God finally showed up. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. My goodness. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? God began to speak to Job. Who is this guy that you keep asking me questions? Gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. Understand? God is now turning the table. Job, you keep asking me questions. Now, get up, and I will ask you questions. Question number one. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. Do you understand? God began to ask Job simple questions about creation. Job, since you are questioning me, let me ask you. How was the world made? Where were you? How big is our planet? Job, explain to me how the morning sun will rise up in the morning. Explain to me the constellation. Explain to me the stars. Job, explain to me. You know what Job did? Look at me. Job could not answer the question of God. God wanted Job to know, Job, you cannot even understand my creation. How much more can you understand the moral order of the universe? You don't even know simple things. Snow, where did it come from? And the Bible tells us, the Lord answered Job. Again, he repeated the question. Gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you and you instruct me. Now, notice, will you really annul my judgment? Will you, Job, condemn me that you may be justified? So God asked Job, I will ask you, since you are God trying to condemn me by doubting my action, all right? Explain to me the Leviathan. Explain to me the hippopotamus. Explain to me how strong they are. Explain to me how the ostrich will have eggs. Explain to me how the horse can run so fast. What did Job say? Look at me. So, finally, the highlight. Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Do you notice something? God never explained to Job. Why? God answered Job, not by explaining about the devil, about all of this. He simply answered Job's question by his presence and by showing Job who he is. Job discovered, God, you are sovereign. You can do everything you want. You see, the answer to Job's problem is God himself. Job discovered who God is. You can do everything. You are the king of kings. You are the boss. Number two, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. God, you are smarter than me. Lord, you are almighty. You are the king of kings. Lord, you are omniscient. You know everything. I don't know much. The third thing that Job discovered about God is this. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. The greatest blessing to Job was he became intimate with God. I used to hear about you, but now my eye sees you. In other words, Job said, now I really know. Do you understand the difference? Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God brings what? Comfort. I was asking Andrea about her testimony. I said, Andrea, when you were blind, when you were having pain, when you were having all of this problem, how were you doing spiritually? You know what she told me? It was during blindness, it was during this time when she became closest to the Lord. She learned more about God. Intimacy comes in the midst of suffering. I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. In my own life, I experienced the intimacy of God in the midst of pain. And that's something the world will never understand. Job understood. And Job said, I repent. I retract. What was he repenting from? Do you see brokenness? Job is not repenting because of adultery, because of lying. No, no. What was his sin? Job said, Lord, forgive me when I question you. Forgive me when I doubt your goodness. Job said, forgive me. How did God vindicate Job? Can I tell you how? God scolded the three stooges. God told them, you guys, you spoke wrongly about me. You now go see Job and he will pray for you. God told these guys, my servant will pray for you. You have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job. Can you imagine? God vindicated Job in his time. And the Bible tells us, when Job, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had, how many percent? 200%. Now, let me explain to you. First, the Lord restored the fortune of Job. When? When did God restore the health and fortune of Job? When? Before prayer or after prayer? You see, when Job was still in the midst of pain and suffering, he obeyed the Lord. God said, you pray for these people. And he obeyed. To endure means to trust. worship God. Even in the midst of pain, Job prayed for others. That is true repentance. No bitterness, no anger. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And the Bible tells us God restored his fortune after, when he prayed. Not before, when he prayed. And the Bible tells us the Lord blessed Job the latter days more than his beginning. You see, you will never understand suffering or pain because you and I have short perspective. But God sees everything. And God's plan has always been to bless Job. Notice, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Excuse me. How many children did Job have in chapter 1 and chapter 2? How many? How many? Why do you say 7? 10. 10, 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10. Now, how many sons and daughters did Job have? 10. So where is the double? Only human beings have eternal soul. So the 10 children of Job that died are now in heaven. Someday, when Job and his children go to heaven, how many children will Job have? 20, double. Praise God. Because monkeys and donkeys don't have soul. If you are thinking when you die, you want your horse to go with you to heaven, that's between you and God, okay? But there's no promise. But all I know is this. Human beings are eternal. So God doubled everything that Job had. Is God amazing? Now, he named his daughter. Amazing name. Jemima, Keziah, Karen. Unheard of, unheard of. You don't give names of women in the Old Testament. That is children, daughters. Why? Let's read this. In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters. And their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. This is an amazing book that tells us Job was amazing. In those cultures when women are not given inheritance, Job gave them inheritance. Job was indeed a righteous man, blessed by God. And you know how long Job lived? Job lived for another, everybody read, Job lived for another 140 years. Wow! He saw his sons, his grandsons, 4 generations. Job died an old man and full of days. Is God good? Yes or no? You know, to be able to endure, to be able to endure, listen to me. You must learn. Hupomeno. You cling on to God. Cling on to his goodness. Cling on to his omniscience. That God knows everything. That God knows what is best for you. And whatever happened to you, you may not understand. In the midst of pain and suffering, you must say, Lord, I cling on to you. I trust you because I know you are good. And I know that you love me. And I'm going to entrust you. You cling on. You don't give up. You don't surrender. Why? Because that is the message today. We count those blessed. You are blessed on one condition. Who? Endure. Don't give up, my friend. My concern is some of you will give up your faith. Make tampo with God. Don't do that. You have heard of the hupomeno of Job. And have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing. Have you seen the outcome? Is God good? Yes or no? Yes. I'm going to give you a bonus. You know that word, hupomeno? I cross-reference and I study that. It is the same word that is used in Hebrew to translate waiting, enduring. Example, wait. In the Hebrew language, it's called kava. Translated to the Greek language, it's called hupomeno. You are to hupomeno, to wait on the Lord. Be strong, let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Waiting, hupomeno, is not passive. It's active, clinging on to the Lord. The object of waiting is God, his goodness. It's never passive. Look at another example of the word wait. Those who wait, kava, in Greek, hupomeno. For the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not get tired. You will walk and not get weary. This is the amazing thing about enduring, clinging on, waiting on the Lord. How many of you were here two Saturdays ago? You heard the example of Dr. Philip Lin. Raise your hands. All right, many of you did not. I learned this from his illustration. You see, when eagles court in courtship, they will lock their claw. When they lock together, what happens to eagles? They will spiral down. Until they will almost hit the ground, and suddenly they will let go. Why is that their courtship model? Very simple. The eagle, the female eagle, is testing the male eagle. Will he cling on to me till death do us part? Remember, eagles are monogamous. They have to commit their entire life. So before they commit, they test. So you'll see eagles connecting. And my friend saw this in Bukidnon, monkey-eating eagles, how they were together, and they began to spiral down. Before they hit the ground, they let go. And then the eagle will know, till death do us part, I'll commit my life to you. Friends, here's a picture of the meaning of hupomeno. You cling on to the Lord. Cling on. You know why? He's faithful. He's going to be there. My friend, learn from Job. Hupomeno. In the midst of pain, what must you do? Cling on to the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. If God has been speaking to you, and today you finally realize you have been a commercial, shallow Christian. You want God because of what He can do for you. But today you want to grow. You want to say, I really want to know Jesus. I will commit my life. I will cling on to the Lord. Will you raise your hands? I'm going to pray for you. You finally understand, in the midst of pain, God is speaking to you. But you got to cling on to Him. Higher, higher. In fact, you know what? So I can pray for you. Those of you who would like me to pray for you, just stand up. Okay, you stand up. You want to cling to the Lord. Remember, very specific. You want to cling to the Lord. You have not understood the meaning of being a person committed to the Lord. Your relationship with God has always been commercial, transactional. But now you say, I want business. I want to cling on to the Lord no matter what. Because of who He is. Not because of what He can get. Ladies and gentlemen, as your heads are bowed down, I want to tell you something. Job never knew what God could do in and through his life. Do you realize the blessing of Job is so amazing? Today, millions of people are learning about pain and suffering through the experience of Job. God used Job to bless others. Job had no idea that God would bless him double. Job had no idea that the greatest blessing was intimacy with God. Job became a better person than he was in chapter 1 and 2. You know why? In chapter 1 and 2, Job knew about God, but at the end, Job really knew God. What about you today? If that's your desire, stand up. You really want to know God. I know you want to know God, but you need to make a commitment. You need to cling on. Anybody else? Praise God. Wherever you are. Father God in heaven, I thank you for this group of men and women who are standing up. Thank you for showing us that you desire, that we love you for who you are. And thank you for reminding us that 2,000 years ago, you showed us the perfect Job. You suffered for each one of us. You understood pain for each one of us. Not because of what you can get from us, but simply because you love us. Lord, help us to know you do love us for who we are. And thank you for the lesson of Job. In the midst of pain and suffering, help us to show you, Lord, that we too love you for who you are. Bring intimacy. Bring a deeper relationship so that we can experience greater knowledge, greater intimacy of who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for dying for us on the cross. I now pray that everybody here who have not yet surrendered their lives to you will encounter you today. Privately, wherever you are, just pray this prayer, okay? Wherever you are, just pray. Lord Jesus, I cling to you. Apart from you, Lord, there's really no meaning, there's no purpose. In the midst of suffering and pain, Lord, I don't understand why. I don't understand all my problems. But I cling to you today, Lord. I wait upon you. I wait upon you. I don't have to understand why. I just trust you. And someday, Lord willing, you will let me know. And if you don't let me know, I will still love you. I will still trust you. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.